Good morning. Welcome to our Friday edition of our Anchored in the Word Morning Reflection. Hope you've had a good week. I hope you're looking forward to a great weekend, and I hope that the passage that we've been looking at has been an encouragement to you. I'm going to read the text one more time, and then I'd like us to conclude with some final thoughts that I hope will be an encouragement to reflect on going into the weekend. John chapter 12, and we'll begin in verse 12. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass sat thereupon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy King cometh sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they these things, which were written of him, that they had done these things unto him. The people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees thereof said amongst themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him. Now there's a verse that we didn't read this week that I want to read to kind of show you where we're going with this final thought. In verse 23, it says, The hour is come, the Son of Man should be glorified. Now, that statement is telling us that this was going to a point in time that was really the culmination of everything. And then if we go back to verse 16, he says, These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they these things that were written of him, and that these things they had done unto him. In other words, the crowning moment is the resurrection, the glorification of the Father and the glorification of the Son is when he died and rose triumphant from the dead. And what this tells us is that the plan was completed and the desired end was accomplished. The gospel saves people from their sins. And we see that as we reflect on everything we've talked about this week. Christ did not just promise, Christ did exactly what the Father had promised, even as there were people who shook their fists at God and said, You can't do this. We have to stop this. We're going to do everything in our power to stop this. God accomplished his purpose. What Jesus came to do, he fulfilled. And the same basic problems that we see in these verses are the same basic problems we see today. If you remember back several days ago, we talked about this dividing line between two positions. Either you embrace him as the Messiah or you don't. And there were people that lined up on one side in unbelief, and there were others that lined up on the other side in belief. The third thing that I'll mention is that it shows us that God's grace is able to accomplish the unbelievable and the remarkable in a way that we would never think was possible. God extended his grace repeatedly to these people in their unbelief, and he extended his grace to them after the cross and the resurrection. Let's remember that at Pentecost, 3,000 people who once rejected Christ embraced him. Let's remember that there was no person in the early church that was more vicious and antagonistic to the Church of God in its infancy than Saul of Tarsus. Yet Saul of Tarsus became the great Apostle Paul, the Apostle to the Gentiles, because God's grace was demonstrated in his conversion. Let's remember that God promises and he fulfills. Human nature is no different. History repeats itself. God's grace is extended over and over and over again. And God's grace triumphs when people are converted. So this passage doesn't just call us to remember. It calls us to action. It calls us to respond by doing something that's consistent with the intent of the text. And so if you are a person who has heard these lessons, heard these episodes, and you've never trusted Christ, this passage calls you to repent and believe. Turn to Jesus. Trust in him as your Savior. If you're a person who's trusted Christ, but you've allowed yourself to get to the place where you see God as a tool, or maybe you've not trusted Christ, and you see God as a tool that you use to get the stuff that you want, see that this passage says you don't do it. Don't see him as a means to your selfish ends. Submit to his purposes. It might be that you're a person who has kind of resigned yourself to the thinking that, you know, there's some people, they're beyond the grace of God. God could never save them. He doesn't want to save them. And you just ignore them. You leave them alone. I want to encourage you, don't do that. Look at this passage of Scripture. It confronts us in that mindset and says, don't have a deficient view of God's grace. He is seeking and he is saving the lost. And lastly, I'll mention this. If we've gotten to a place where we have lost a sense of how good God is, and we've become entitled in our spirit, let's remind ourselves again of the fact that, you know what, God is very good, and the cost of the cross is absolutely horrific, and it is high, and it demonstrates that, you know what, God is good, and he cares about us, and we need to humble ourselves and be grateful. My encouragement to you going into the weekend is that we would resist the tragic misunderstanding of Christ and his work that we see in the text in front of us. May we be a person who live in the light of God's salvation in Christ. Either we turn to it and are saved, or we reflect on it and live in the light of it. Have a great weekend. Lord willing, we'll see many of you on Sunday. Bye now.